of the WBAI Feminist Film Festival, and your last chance to experience the event that has packed the house for the last 4 weeks. We'll be showing the transcendent Fundi, the story of Ella Baker. It's the only film on the life of this not well enough known leader of the civil rights movement. And Sweet Honey in the Rock, Raise Your Voice, an award-winning film about the world-renowned a cappella singing group. Plus, we'll have a live performance by veteran singer-songwriter Judy Gorman. So, don't miss out. It's all happening at 388 Atlantic Avenue. Go to WBAI.org for details. Doors open at 6 for shorts, 7:30 for features. The wine is still flowing, and the popcorn is still popping.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board will be holding a special meeting on Sunday, November 2nd, starting at 2 p.m. at the Wall Street Atrium at 60 Wall Street in Lower Manhattan. This is a CAB town hall meeting designed to have as many people as possible come and voice their opinions and concerns regarding the current state of WBAI and Pacifica Radio. Again, there will be a special town hall meeting for the WBAI community held on Sunday, November 2nd at the Wall Street Atrium at 60 Wall Street in Lower Manhattan. All are invited and welcome to come.
Attention, WBAI listener sponsors. The WBAI Premium Hotline is now 347-529-6664. Once again, the number is 347-529-6664. Leave a message on the hotline, and a volunteer will address your concerns and get back to you as soon as possible. Once again, the number is 347-529-6664. Thank you once again for supporting WBAI New York Pacifica Radio.
My fellow Americans,
just 2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait. These attacks continue as I speak.
Their mission is to attack Iraq's nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons programs and its military capacity to threaten its neighbors. Their purpose is to protect the national interests of the United States and indeed the interests of people throughout the Middle East and around the world.
As Commander-in-Chief, my highest priority is the security of the American people.
We will defend our freedom. We will bring freedom to others. And we will prevail. May God bless our country and all who defend it.
WBAI, speaking truth to power for over 50 years. WBAI, your community alternative.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board wants to hear from you what you think about the current state of programming at WBAI. Please tell us what you like, what you do not like, and more importantly, what do you think we need to do? Any suggestions are welcome. Please send your comments to the WBAI Community Advisory Board, WBAI Radio, 388 Atlantic Avenue, 3rd floor, Brooklyn, New York. The zip code is 11217. Again, send your comments to the WBAI Community Advisory Board, 388 Atlantic Avenue, 3rd floor, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. Thanks for your ideas and invaluable support.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York. Time is 7:01, almost 7:02. Time for a special two-hour edition of Off the Hook.
Thank you.
good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. And nobody else is in the studio. No other regular staff people, that is. We do have a special guest. But first, let me introduce Bernie S.
Greetings from Pennsylvania.
I don't know if it's the fundraiser or the rain or the Halloween type of year, time of year, or just pure chance. But this is the first time I can remember in a long time where none of the other people, other staff people of Off the Hook have been in the studio. Isn't that something?
Maybe they're getting ready for Halloween. I don't know.
I kind of like it. I kind of, because I can just basically say whatever I want without anybody jumping down my throat and saying that I got a particular word in that sentence wrong or something like that.
Well, I can stand in and do that.
I can also fade you down and not have to look at you. But the studio is far from empty because we have, gracing our presence tonight, the Honorable Stephen Rombone.
How you doing? Hello, Brother Bernie.
Hello, Stephen. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Now, Stephen, as you may know, is a renowned private investigator and privacy expert who has spoken at every single Hackers on Planet Earth conference known to man. And tonight we have a special two-hour program featuring Steve and some of the things that he has said from way back that have come true. If we'd only been listening to him from the start, we wouldn't be going through a lot of the hassles we're going through right now. But it's not too late because you can listen to him tonight and maybe take precautions for the next 20 years.
And we have some new stuff tonight.
That's right. We always have new things. Bernie, anything new down in Pennsylvania?
As far as news go?
Anything you'd like to get out of the way before we plunge into all this?
Nothing to get out of the way. I mean, there's I would like to note tonight yesterday's passing of Ben Bradley, the editor of the Washington Post, who was instrumental in his newspaper's publishing of the Pentagon Papers, whose leaker, Daniel Ellsberg, was our keynote speaker at HopeX this summer. But I think Ben Bradley was a bastion of free speech and really someone to be admired if we really want to know what our government is up to and what's doing.
Absolutely, yes. Sad news on that front. As far as other things going on in the news, I guess, you know, most of the technology-related things, most of the privacy-related things have to do with companies, governments screwing up and letting all kinds of data insecure, let's put it that way. I think Staples is the most recent example. Is that correct, Bernie?
I heard Staples was victimized. My credit card was recently canceled because of the Home Depot thing.
What, did you cancel it?
No, it was canceled. I was actually at a gas station a couple of weeks ago purchasing gasoline, and my card didn't work. And I called my credit card company and saying, hey, why doesn't my MasterCard work anymore? And they said, it was canceled, and we will be sending you a new one.
Okay, but for now, you don't have anything.
Exactly, and nor did I did not receive any email, phone call, nothing. So I was pretty screwed right then. I was short on cash. I had to go to an ATM machine somewhere and get cash and pay a fee. It was a pain in the neck. And and I got to the security department who said it was because of this Home Depot thing. So,
and they will send you a new card without a chip in it, without a PIN.
Yes, exactly.
The same open, insecure card, that type of card that has already been hacked and stolen from pretty much every American by now.
So when I heard the Staples thing, it's like, oh my gosh, I just used the new card at Staples.
So, oh boy!
This may be repeating itself all over.
Maybe
again.
You're the weak link somehow.
It must be
your,
my fault.
Your card is the one that they're testing. But Steve, you know, I've gotten a bunch of new cards. I got a few of them here. As you can see, they all have chips in them.
I'm looking at the stack of cards that you have. You're like a poker dealer.
Well, I'm a collector, basically.
How many cards do you have?
I have all of them. I do.
Holy cow!
And they everything that I've been sent this year has a little chip in it. Now, nobody is using the chip yet because the software apparently has not been turned on. I know this because we're actually merchants too. When we go to places and sell our wares, but that particular part of the processing is not yet installed. So hopefully it'll work when they do turn it on.
Well,
I'm not sure when that
credit
will be.
Cards are being aged out anyway.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you've got this Apple Pay and you've got Google trying to get in on it and all of the various cell phone companies with near-field communication, and you know, credit cards don't allow sufficient tracking of your daily minor activities. So everything's going to start to be moved to cell phones.
That's a thought right there. I know in Europe a lot of things are on cell phones already.
Sure, sure. And I've been in places in Asia where people walk up to a soda machine and buy a can of Coke with their cell phone.
I was surprised. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I was in Shanghai and got off at the train station there, and I saw schoolgirls getting through the turnstiles by just waving their cell phone at a sensor. And I was like, wow, they're way more advanced than we are.
Well, sure, you can put anything on your cell phone. I'd say about half of the people that board in group one on airplanes now are using their cell phones as their boarding pass.
Yep.
Well, that seems to me, Bernie, you say they're more advanced, but...
this was four years ago. Was a long time technologically, and
right.
The technology surely existed. Near field communications, electronic payment systems. I mean, all that existed. It's just the infrastructure. China rolled it out. Why is the United States so far behind? The EU countries in the EU have had chip and pin technology for what, 20 years now. Why are we so far behind here?
That is a good question as far as that goes. But in regard to basically using your cell phone for every entry to whatever requires a fee, to me, that's just the ultimate in tracking. And I'm sure Steve would agree that this is how your whereabouts can be watched.
There are already 200,000 installed beacons,
mm-hmm.
these little devices that through Bluetooth track your cell phone. If your cell phone is known, it sends you a coupon or an ad or adds to its marketing list that you are in aisle 3 of Walmart or you're browsing suits in Bloomingdale's.
Wait a minute. They can actually tell what aisle in Walmart you're waddling down if you're a person from Walmart.
You're right. Waddling with your thong exposed, yes. That's for anybody who wants the complete image. Yes, that's absolutely correct. Part of it is the short range on a lot of these devices. I mean, the range will be 10 yards or 20 yards, so they know through immediate triangulation pretty much, you know, that you're standing in front of the canned carrots.
Well, that's, to me, it's funny. We can have, you know, a blast playing with this technology, but it's also pretty scary if you're trying to maintain any semblance of privacy. It just seems that we're willingly giving it all away. And, Steve,
well,
I know that you've said this before, that Facebook and Twitter and...
Facebook and Twitter are not even the issue anymore.
But it's a favor to you as a private investigator what people put in the public domain, that they don't have to.
Listen, I can tell you, I'm not going to reveal a whole lot about this, and I'm sure Bernie isn't either, but Bernie actually helped me with a missing kid in trouble who we tracked.
I just heard about this a few minutes ago.
Yeah,
Starsky and Hutch here, you guys are tracking down missing kids and just basically...
Wait a second, which one of us is Starsky?
I don't know. I'm not even sure which one is Starsky if I watch it. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But
all right.
That's incredible that you guys have to pair up like this.
Yeah, that's right. You're a Huggy Bear. That's exactly right.
All right, let's not go too far into this. How much do you want to reveal of?
Well, I can tell you that that there was this young girl, 13-year-old girl, who got lured away by a series of pedophiles, passed from bad guy to bad guy, and we were able to track her through entirely electronic means to a very specific area of Pennsylvania. And Bernie was my Pennsylvania consultant in this area. And because of the information that we gathered electronically and some info from Bernie and some other people, we were able to blanket the particular area that we knew that this girl had gone from New York to this area in Pennsylvania, and we caught her within 72 hours.
And wow. It's an interesting coincidence. Is this happened just a couple of blocks from where the 1971 office, the FBI office in Media Pennsylvania, was burglarized in 1971 by.
That's what I told Emmanuel when I told you the address. Your point of reference was, oh yeah, down the block from the FBI
right.
office.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. But getting back to the issue of privacy today, we are always hearing about credit cards being compromised, people's private data being left out in the open. And if we're not hearing about that, we're hearing about our nude photos getting leaked because somebody left them on their phone and they were backed up to the cloud. I saw a story this week. Russell Brand is not worried about being caught up in the nude celebrity photo scandal because he doesn't have any pictures to leak. How did this even become a story? The 39-year-old comedian is adamant he won't become a part of the fapping, which I don't know why it's called that.
Fapping.
Oh, the fapping was a subreddit.
Oh, okay.
Where they posted all of the leaked naked celebrity photos about 2 months ago.
But the word. What does the word mean?
FAP? You don't know what FAP is?
Well, apparently I don't.
FAP is the act of self-gratification.
Oh.
Is that clean enough?
I guess.
To FAP.
Somehow I missed that one.
That's the infinite, to FAP.
Okay, well, you see, I learned something FAP-R. From this whole thing. Yeah, I learned a valuable bit of information. But anyway, he won't become a part of the fapping, which has affected over 100 stars, including, we don't need to list them again. This is all publicity for them. He admits he has been perplexed by the weird leak. I've been perplexed by the weird leak as well. But, Steve, I wanted your perspective on this as far as protecting yourself.
Can you
assume that everything in your cell phone is going to be kept on your cell phone?
Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. Anything that you put in digital format is gone or potentially gone. Look, the takeaway from this whole iCloud crack with the fapping followed by the fapping is that anything that you do digitally is out of your control. You put something in the cloud. The cloud is not a cloud. People think of it as this heavenly, you know, environment where your songs and your pictures go on vacation. It's basically somebody else's computer, and you are trusting the security of your sensitive data to somebody else. It's ridiculous. Look. You know, lately we've been hearing Google is going to start heavy encryption. The iPhone is going to have end-to-end encryption that's going to even foil the CIA and the NSA and the FBI. And Comey, the new director of the FBI, is all a flutter about this. It's all a bunch of crap. It is all absolutely a bunch of crap. First of all, the transactional data, where you are, what you do, what you're using your cell phone for, all of that is out there. It's being sold. It's being resold. And the people who are buying it are commercial marketing companies. I mean, their goal is to make money off of your eyeballs and off of your feet to get you to go and do things and buy things and look at things. And I can tell you that... That's the privacy invasion today, that everything that you do is cataloged by somebody who wants to sell your profile.
And they seem to be very successful at it.
There is no facet of your life, your online life, your meet space, physical life, that is not recorded somewhere. And with the near-field payment systems, with the iAds and iPhone coupons and all of the various tracking that comes with pretty much every app, 45% of iPhone apps now report your location. 45% of iPhone apps. I mean, the only one that's really made it to the news and barely even then is the flashlight app.
The flashlight app records your location?
Oh, the flashlight app transmits your location and a ton of personal data. You know, again, I mean, who reads terms of service? But you're giving permission when you activate these apps. There is no sensitive part of your life that I can't glean from your cell phone.
Amazing and scary at the same time. Hey, we're here with Stephen Rombaum, who has been talking about this for lo these many years. We've been honored to have him at the HOPE conferences from the very first one up until the very most recent one. He's been basically telling anyone who will listen that this is what you do when you use certain devices, when you use certain software. This is how the system works. What we are offering tonight as part of the WBAI Autumn Fundraiser is a full collection of all of Stephen's talks at the HOPE conferences, and that encompasses the last 20 years. For a pledge of $75, you will get all of those on a flash drive. And I know the flash drives last time, we were on 2 weeks ago, they were very popular. We were also offering, and we offered, I believe, 20 flash drives that had every single talk from HOPE-X, the most recent HOPE conference. And they were gone by the end of the 2 hours, before the end of the 2 hours. So what we have done is we've opened up another 10, only 10, but they are available for this show. So 212-209-2950 is the phone number. You have your choice, or you can get both. You can get all of Stephen's talks from all different conferences for a pledge of $75 on a flash drive, or you can get all of the talks from HOPE-X. That's 64 gigs of flash drive that you will get. And that's for a pledge of $125. 212-209-2950. What I would like to do is go back in time a little bit. You indulge me on this? We'll go back to 1997. What do you think you were warning us about then?
I think I predicted Google Glass that year.
In 1997?
Is that right?
I don't know.
Or was it the year? I know that we predicted Google Glass 8 years in advance.
Wow. Well, you are very good at predicting some of the things coming down the pike because you work with this. This is part of what you do, investigations. And it's great that you share that with the hacker community, with the world at large. We'll be talking about that a little bit more when we come back from this excerpt. Oh, by the way, that's the HOPE intermission music that we're playing here because we want to get in the spirit of things. But mostly we want to hear from you. We want to hear from our listeners because you're the ones who make all of this possible. Think of the power that you have. Stephen is on the air right now talking about all of this. This leads more people to hear about it, leads more people to become educated. And WBAI, in many ways, is responsible for the success of the HOPE conferences because this radio station has gotten the word out in so many different ways. It's important to keep these communication links open. 212-209-2950. I'd love to see a strong response from the beginning. We're on for 2 hours tonight. We're not on next week. So this is really it as far as hoping to get a lot of people calling in. Let's go back to 1997. Listen to Steve Rambam at the Beyond HOPE conference. This is the only one that did not take place at Hotel Pennsylvania. This took place at the old Puck building downtown. Again, 212-209-2950, 1997.
Emmanuel spoke about a case that we completed about 6 months ago, which made it into the mass media, and that was a hunt for Nazi war criminals in Canada. With very little trouble, we found 161 war criminals in Canada. And I have to tell you, it was... Thank you. I have to tell you, it was not as a result of my great investigative ability, although there is that. It was because that things have changed in the past 10 years. Information is more open, information is more accessible, and it's more publicly accessible. A third of the people that we found by picking up a copy of the Canada Pro phone and plugging their names in. They were in the phone book. Another third we found, or even more than another third, by pulling driver license records, motor vehicle records, property registration, all of which is now online. Maybe 10% of the people we found, we had to mount a real honest-to-goodness investigation to find. That sort of accessibility to information on the part of the average private person, and I am a private investigator. I have no more rights to access information than you do. I can't go into NCIC. Well, I can go into NCIC, but not supposed to. I can't go into NCIC. I can't get toll records. although about five people have offered me toll records here today. All of the information that I can access, you can access. And this has enormously empowered the average person. 15 years ago, when the Jewish community and the community of people who care in Canada went to the government after the Duchesne Commission and said, how many war criminals are there in Canada? Who are they? Where are they? The government said, we can't tell you, it's closed files, but don't worry, we've got everything under control. Now, as an aside, let me tell you, since 1979, the U.S. has deported or chased out over 100 war criminals. Canada's deported one, which is why we joined with a number of public interest organizations and mounted the investigation in Canada. 15 years ago, the citizens of Canada had to take the government's word for who was in Canada and what was available. Last year, they didn't, because we had the ability to go out and pull records and investigate people and knock on their doors and talk to them. The revolution in the power of computing and the power of database management, and just simply what is now computer accessible as opposed to what 15 years ago was only on microfiche or only on index cards, has changed the world. And I'm not talking about that you can now take a picture of yourself mooning the camera and put it on the internet. I'm talking about driver license records, motor vehicle records, voter registration. Almost every newspaper is now accessible through dial-up services or through the net for free. And the ability to access at one shot the work of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of investigative reporters is an unbelievably powerful tool. You can now protect yourself and increase the amount of justice in your life without having to rely on the government. You can find out if your nanny that you're planning to hire has a criminal record or is a drunk or is a drug user. You can investigate an employee before you hire them. You can find your missing father. You can hunt Nazi war criminals. You can increase the amount of justice in the world. And unfortunately, not in my opinion, but in the opinion of many governments and many large corporations, that's not a good thing. For hundreds, if not thousands of years, there has been an information monopoly. And information really is power, as you guys know probably better than me. As an example, let's talk about Equifax. Equifax is one of the big three credit reporting companies. They have a file on every single American who has ever applied for credit, bought a house, or sneezed in a dark room. A few years ago, they were planning to sell it on a disk, something called Marketplace. There's a big uproar. They canceled their plans to do that. The following year, in a public relations campaign, they announced that they were cutting off private investigators from access to Equifax. What a scam. The fact of the matter is, Equifax, in addition to being the largest private credit reporting agency in the United States after TRW and before TransUnion, it is the largest private investigative agency in the United States, employing more than 30,000 full-time and part-time investigators who do insurance investigations, background investigations, and pre-employment checks. And the truth is, what they were doing was saying, if you want access to our files and our investigative consumer reports, don't hire these independent private investigators. Give us your money. That's the truth of what happened. Equifax wants you to have to go to Equifax and pay big money. They don't want you to be able to spend $5 and access somebody's driving license record to see if they really are who they are, to see if their pre-employment application is legit, to see if you should hire them as a nanny. They want you to pay Equifax $150 for a pre-employment screening report, which is what they charge.
All right, we're going to step away from that. That was 17 years ago. Steve Rambam talking to a group of hackers about privacy and the developments that allow people to investigate other people. 17 years, Steve. So
that's I'm listening to that, and it's amazing that 17 years ago we were talking about information opening up. What's going on today? I mean, frankly, 17 years ago, not even I would have predicted the amount of tracking and indexing and record creation that exists today. Every moment of your life, you're leaving digital breadcrumbs. And, I 17 years ago, I thought it was bad. It's unbelievable now.
Well, are you surprised by how things have turned out in that period of time?
No, because I'm not one of these people who think that this is a desire of Big Brother to catalog and track everyone. I know that this is an engine of capitalism. People want to make money off of you. And well,
Big Brother's in there too, though, right? Big Brother is competing with all these.
Well, no, Big Brother's not competing. Big Brother is standing back and then buying other people's work. I can tell you that the FBI, for example, accesses TLO and LexisNexis and buys up all kinds of information out there. You know, the vast majority of what the FBI uses to track someone or background someone is not from inside the FBI infrastructure. They go out to private industry. The vast majority of the information out there on anyone, unless you're an Al-Qaeda member or an organized crime figure, is in private industry. If I as a private investigator was told, Steve, you could have unrestricted access to every governmental file, or you can have unrestricted access to every private industry file, Google, telephone companies, credit card companies, tracking entities, the people who do ALPR, automatic license plate readers, the people who market to you. If I had to choose between the governmental stuff or the private stuff, I would throw away the governmental stuff without even thinking, because for every piece of data that the government has on you, private industry has 100. And that's not hyperbole. That's probably literally true.
And you're saying that the companies do the work many times and the government buys that from the company. So they're not even doing the work to get the information.
I have actually sat in law enforcement offices and reviewed files and seen what came up on computer screens. And the bulk of it was private origination.
So, okay, let me ask you this then. If it is companies that are gathering all this information on us and they will sell it to those interested in buying it, what prevents them from selling it to, say, non-governmental agencies, other governments, other enemies of people that we consider to be evil?
Well, first of all, most of it you don't have to sell. Most of it is grabbed. Most of it is vacuumed. Most of it is screen scraped. Right now you have the government of China hacking the heck out of iCloud, you know, trying to get every piece of data it can. You have Russia using its deniable civilian hackers hitting databases left, right, and center. Everybody. Let me. Okay, it's very funny that you bring this up. I'm involved in a project right now called Project OPSEC, Operational Security, where we are about to expose how easy it is to target members of the military and people that are involved in anti-terrorism efforts. You have a call right now from ISIL or ISIS, whatever their name of the moment is, where they are saying to their followers, to their true believers all over the world, find members of the military, find members of law enforcement, target them and kill them.
And that's what happened in Canada today.
That's exactly what happened in Canada, and it's happened in the United Kingdom, and it will happen in America. It absolutely will happen in America. And I will guarantee you that when it happens in America, if it's not somebody walking down the street in uniform that's just randomly attacked. What it's going to be is somebody who's identified through Facebook or somebody who's identified by doing simple search engine activity, looking for a member of the military, using Google facial recognition or tracking someone to their home. Let me tell you, if I want to find 100 soldiers that have served in Iraq or Afghanistan and go to their homes, I can set that up in 48 hours. And we're going to be demonstrating that actually with a particular very well-known elected official. We are going to call for the U.S. government to start doing what's done in a lot of other countries, which is not using the last names of troops. If you, for example, interview a soldier in Israel or in England or in France, it's Captain Y or Sergeant X. In the United States, because we're the U.S., because we're open, they say Captain John Smith. They give the whole name. Not only that, they say Captain John Smith, who hails from Pittsburgh. I mean, Captain John Smith, who hails from Pittsburgh, that's all I need to find his home.
But Captain John Smith may be giving this information out on his own anyway because he doesn't see any need to hide that.
Well, he needs to be educated that now, unfortunately, there's a need. So, I mean, look, frankly, we all overshare. We all overshare. But for guys who are in the military or who are in law enforcement, that could be a life or death issue now suddenly. The world is changing.
Fascinating. Now, Stephen, you have a bunch of television appearances. I recall we had a premiere screening at Hope X, which I was not able to see because I was just running around like a crazy person. But tell us something about your TV show.
You know, the funny thing is I was a speaker. I was a double speaker at Hope X, and it's your conference, and I didn't see you the whole conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually sent you an email after the conference saying, sorry about that.
Yeah, I took a vacation, actually. I just got to get away.
Yeah.
But we're going to hear a little bit from your talking from Hope X in a bit. But the television show is what I'm interested in at the moment. Tell us about that.
Frightening to contemplate, but I actually have my own TV show now. I am, as they call it, talent. And I have a show called Nowhere to Hide, quite appropriately called Nowhere to Hide. It's on Discovery ID, Investigation Discovery.
Wait, what channel is that?
Discovery ID. Okay, let me say, I don't have cable. I don't have cable. Uh-huh. I torrent my own show.
Wow.
You know, which is actually, I think, one of the exemptions. They can't charge me with anything. But it's, you know, this is a really unique show.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first private investigator show that isn't some outlandish character, you know, driving around in a Ferrari with a beautiful woman by his side, or as much as I love the Rockford Files, you know, breaking into an office at night with a set of lockpicks, or the whole Huggy Bear thing. This is real private investigation, and we show how private investigation is done. We show the tactics and the techniques and client intake and what's involved with working in law enforcement and how you close a case. Last season, we had a murder for hire substituting a body, which we broke on screen. We had two family reunifications. We had, an individual in Long Island, John Keenan, who was falsely arrested by a cop who was trying to harass the family, showing getting him exonerated. Really, really tough cases. We showed the psycho stalker of all time, the episode Three Doctors and a Cat.
That sounds intriguing.
That was an amazing case. There was a woman who targeted doctors and one lawyer, but mostly doctors. She would get engaged to them or marry them, and then she would, while they were out, she would call the police, claim that she was beaten or a gun was pointed at her. The cops would come in, arrest this poor schmo, take him away. She would file for divorce, and because the guy's a doctor or a lawyer, if he's convicted, he loses everything. He loses his license. He loses his rep. I mean, 20 years of work. So they settle with her. It is the it was the most clever extortion ever.
And how does a cat enter into it?
Oh, in two of the cases, she claimed that the person was a sexual pervert who had not only beaten her, but had sexually molested her cat. And that's how we got my client off. My client was doctor number four. And because of the, we are now in the internet era. If this had happened 30 years ago, it would have been much, much harder to break the case. But using databases and using tracking, I was able to find some of the earlier cases. And we were able to show that almost word for word, the accusation against my client, she had made to three prior fiancés or husbands, including in one case, the finger up the behind of the cat allegation.
Well, no, I just have to wonder the intelligence level of somebody who uses the same scam on three different husbands.
You know what? It worked for 25 years.
That's amazing to me.
It worked for 25 years. First of all, it wasn't all husbands. She had fiancés. She had a pharmacist that she got $100,000 from who wasn't part of the mix. I never interviewed him. I found out about him later. I have to tell you, this was the most brilliant extortion. She picked people who had everything to lose. She made the most extraordinary horrific allegations. The people were screwed. The people had to settle up with her. I mean, they gave her fortunes to just go away.
Amazing.
Well, what's amazing is when I finally found her to serve some papers on her, she was with a new doctor.
I bet he was happy to see you.
No, I didn't tell him a word.
Oh, okay.
And first of all, it would have been unethical, and on the off chance that she, the very unlikely off chance that this was, you know, her turning over a new leaf, you don't mess with somebody's marriage. You just don't. Now is this new doctor a potential new, you know, future client of mine? Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But I can announce now. I can announce now, this is new news.
All right, pay attention.
This is actually reasonably important.
Mm-hmm.
I got permission this morning to do this. I can now announce that we've been renewed for a season two.
Season two?
Season two. And of particular interest to your listeners,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'll back up and I'll say, I announced at Hope 9 that we were looking at doing this show. At Hope X, Hope 10, that just ended, we premiered the show. I am now announcing on this radio program that we've been renewed for season two. This is the first time this has been announced. And I will tell you that for a couple of the episodes, which I am specifically prohibited from describing in detail,
okay.
I will tell you that a couple of these episodes have a very significant hacker component. I will tell you that there was one multi-million dollar fraud, a valuable item. I won't tell you the valuable item, but it is a valuable item that is a household word, a household name. Somebody was about to get ripped off of $50 million, 55 if you count the commission he was going to have to pay. And we solved it with the assistance of people in the hacker community by doing some technical things. And all of these people are going to be on air. One guy from the old MOD, if you don't know what that is, Google it, came out of retirement to help me on this.
Masters of Deception.
I'll take your word for it. actually, that's correct. I mean, that's the early, early days.
Hey, that was on this show. We talked about that when it was happening. So, yeah, we're very much tied into
this. I think the only people older than that were my buddy Cheshire and maybe Wozniak. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, those were the old fellas. And I will tell you that, these guys today, a lot of those guys are pretty remarkable good guys. I think they were mischaracterized then, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they're pretty wonderful guys now.
Well, Steve, assuming they congratulated you when they told you this news earlier, let me be the second person to congratulate you on the second season of your show. How many episodes?
Good question. I know at least six.
Okay. How many were in this season?
Last were six.
Six. Okay.
But you know they are regularly rerun.
Mm-hmm.
They're available on. I mean, there's no point telling this to your listeners. I know where they get their digital downloads, but it's on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's on Amazon, it's on YouTube. Every single episode, it's called Nowhere to Hide, or you can plug in my name. But I will tell you that after episode 5, which was the one that was premiered at the at Hope X, I went onto Pirate Bay just out of curiosity, and it said Cedars. 2,633.
Wow, it's a good number anyway.
It's a very good number. I mean, it's not Game of Thrones, but it ain't bad.
But, I mean, that's... I know you said that the network was a little upset by that, but that's actually a good thing.
Well, it wasn't the network. A guy from the... a related entity, one of the production companies, said to me, holy cow, I mean, people are downloading this. I said, yeah, because it's not on the air in Europe, and you know, what are you going to do? I take it as a compliment.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Nowhere to Hide, you can find it on demand, too, I imagine, on various digital cable platforms. And you can find it all over the Internet. I don't know why anybody would be upset that it's on the Internet, because they, you know, people should watch the show, and that's one way to see it, however you're able to get a copy. But you were also on something on CNN earlier this year, were you not?
Oh, I have to tell you, that was wonderful.
That was a great show. I saw
it,
that
it
one.
It was a phenomenal show. There's a guy by the name of Morgan Spurlock. Everybody seems to remember him from Supersize Me, mm-hmm. and that stuff. He is, I got to tell you, he's my kind of guy. If I was going to be a journalist, I would be Morgan Spurlock. Or Charlie LaDuff.
I'm very critical of portrayals of technologically related things, and I have to say I found it very difficult to find anything that was misportrayed in that particular hour.
I should hope so. I was the tech advisor.
Yeah, it was really
and on camera. I mean, we showed how you can track people from the moment they wake up to when they make a phone call, get on the train, buy a soda. Call their girlfriend, everything. I got a waiver from some poor schnook who was I don't know what they call him, a field producer in Morgan's enterprise. And we basically tracked him. We grabbed his photo off various sites. We tracked him through Twitter. We tracked him through his cell phone. We showed him literally walking down the street. We showed his little icon bobbing down Amsterdam Avenue. And my understanding is that the feedback was extraordinary.
Yeah, I don't know how you can see that now. I'm not sure if that's available anywhere.
Oh yeah, it is. Sure it is.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what the heck it was called.
Inside Man, was it?
Inside Man. Yeah. Thank you.
And I guess if you just look,
I'm embarrassed that I was on it. And you know better.
So
than me,
many titles, so many things that you're involved in. It's quite forgivable. Bernie, did you happen to see that?
I did. It was really well done, and I was impressed. You gave me a heads up it was going to be on, and I checked it out, and it's like, wow, this is like the first realistic portrayal I'd ever seen of this on television.
There are two guys who really do tech right, and who by the way are also pretty phenomenal investigative reporters. One is Morgan Spurlock, and the other is Charlie LaDuff. LaDuff is an amazing guy, also.
All right. Well, it's important to acknowledge people when they get the story right, as much as it is to acknowledge them when they mess it up, and that happens quite often.
Yep.
Okay, we are here with Stephen Rombaum, talking about privacy, talking about how things have changed over the decades and what to look forward to in the future. This is part of WBAI's Autumn Fundraiser. What we are offering is every talk that Stephen has given at the Hope Conferences. And you will be amazed by some of the things that he has predicted well in advance, and you will also learn about what's coming in the future with this premium. $75 premium, you'll get a flash drive filled with all of his talks, full video and everything. For a pledge of $125, you'll get every talk at our last conference, Hope X. That's something like 100 different talks, 100 different speakers, Steve, of course, being one of them, including Edward Snowden, including Daniel Ellsberg, and a cast of over 100 people that will be in in your computer with a 64 gig thumb drive or two 32 gig thumb drives, depending on which one we have at the moment. 212-209-2950. I know we've been getting a bunch of calls, and I hope we get more calls. Again, the full set for Hope X, we only have 10 of those. So once that number is reached, we can no longer offer that. We have, I believe, a total of 25 for the Stephen package. So you have a little bit more space to call and pledge for that. But again, once it's gone, it's gone. 212-209-2950. If you've found yourself listening to the radio now, listening to some of the things that we've been talking about as far as how you're monitored, how your data is bought and sold, consider supporting that kind of conversation. Consider supporting a radio station where this is talked about freely. And, you know, Stephen, I know that we have many differences in politics and all sorts of things. And that's part of the beauty of it all, because freedom of speech is what this place is all about. And you'll find that many other places in the broadcast dial are very concerned about sponsors and things you can't say and people you might offend. And, you know, we kind of, here at WBAI, we kind of assume that everyone's going to be offended in the end anyway, so let's just speak freely at least, right?
Look, I have to tell you, I mean, I'm the most amazing thing about the Hope conferences and about, you know, the 2600 enterprise in general is the absolute lack of censorship. I mean, this is one of the few places in publishing or in media that you're going to find that. And I am admittedly one of the more right-wing people that you will ever meet in any environment. And I feel absolutely at home at Hope. And I feel absolutely at home, you know, doing Off the Hook or collaborating with 2600 Magazine or any of the related enterprises, because, you know, it all comes down to information needing to be free, information needing to be out there. You know, the great thing about Off the Hook and Hope and 2600 is it doesn't try to tell you what to think. Mm-hmm. It just gives you what to think about.
That's nice. I like that tag. That's exactly it.
It's yours.
All right.
Keep it.
Well, 212-209-2950, that's the number to call to pledge your support to WBAI to continue conversations like this and to get a really nifty premium in addition to that. All of Stephen's talks from the beginning until now for a pledge of $75, all of them will appear on a flash drive. And if for a pledge of $125, you'll get the entire Hope X conference with 100 different speakers talking about all kinds of hacker-related items, including Steve with his latest talk. What we're going to do now is go back in time a little bit to H2K2, which was in 2000. Actually, I'm sorry, I have that wrong. This is the fifth Hope in 2004. And actually, you're referring, in this particular clip, you're referring to H2K, but you meant H2K2 because that was the most recent one. I know it gets confusing.
I don't even know what you're going to play.
It's a complete surprise. I'm not even sure myself. I do know it's from 2004. I do know you're referring to H2K2 when you say H2K. And I do know that this is the intermission music from Hope X. And I do know that when I look at the phones next, they will be all lit up with people calling 212-209-2950 to get this amazing package offered only tonight during this special two-hour edition of Off the Hook. Let's go back to 2004 and hear part of Steve's talk then. Again, 212-209-2950.
It's true that during H2K, I had a rather strong difference of opinion with Jello Biafra. Unfortunately, during the past 2 years, I have been driven a lot, kicking and screaming a lot closer to his position. In the past 2 years, we've seen in this country an enormous erosion of personal privacy, personal liberty, personal rights, and especially right to privacy. It has always been considered in this country to be a basic human right, the right to privacy, the right to be left alone, as it was once described by the Supreme Court. That right and the ability to keep your affairs private, even your most intimate affairs private, has now been completely eliminated. There's been a lot of
debate over the past 2 years about the Patriot Act, about total information awareness, terrorist information, action network, the DARPA activities. What I hope to do today is to give you enough information, more than enough information, regarding just what's available out there on each individual person, and to help you make an informed decision about the Patriot Act, about DARPA's projects, about, frankly, the upcoming election. Wozniak gave me the best segue that he possibly could when he started talking about what was fundamentally American. In this country, there's always been a level playing field, or in theory a level playing field, between the government and the private citizen. Supposedly the government was not entitled to anything that you weren't entitled to. Information was supposed to be free. If there was a property record, you were entitled to that record. If there was a voter registration, you were entitled to see that voter registration. If someone compiled a file on you, you were entitled to see that file, if for no other reason than to correct the errors in it. What has happened over the past 2 years, like never before in the history of the United States, is that your most intimate secrets, your most confidential information, has been cataloged, cross-referenced, data mined, compiled, conglomerated, and made available to the U.S. government by private industry. And because it's been made available by private industry, law and regulation doesn't control it. You have no right to look at it. Freedom of Information Act doesn't cover it. Now, there are very, very good reasons for information to be out there and to be available. If you're hiring a nanny, you should be able to determine if this nanny was a child molester or charged with assault. If you have a housekeeper, you have a right to know if this person's been arrested for burglary. If there's a school bus driver, you really have a right to know if that person has a drunk driving conviction before he drives your kid. If you hire an employee, it's probably useful to know if this person's ever been involved in an act of workplace violence. If you lend somebody money, you should know what their credit rating is. All of these things make sense. They especially make sense when you talk about public figures. You have a right to know what John Kerry's military record is. You have a right to know what George Bush and Cheney's financial dealings were. Information should be available to everyone equally. That's basic American philosophy. What I'm going to do over the next half hour or less is give you the Reader's Digest version of databases, privacy, what's available out there. I'm then going to take one or two victims from the audience, one or two volunteers from the audience, and I'm going to... Yeah, unfortunately, I've just been handed a Social Security number. Unfortunately, when we get to that, the person whose Social Security number this is going to have to stand up and volunteer. I'm not going to just randomly run an SSN. This is probably Jack Valenti's Social Security number. Yeah, I'm not so stupid. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest survey of what's out there. I'm then going to demonstrate what's out there rather graphically by logging on to what's called a personal reference database and running a couple of people here. And then we're going to do questions and answers because, frankly, your questions usually elicit better information than I would ever think to speak about on my own.
All right, that is an excerpt from 2004, the Fifth Hope Conference. at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York with Stephen Rombaum. And, you mentioned something there about the questions that people ask from our audience and just basically, I guess, how this crowd is different than most that you might be speaking in front of. what's unique about them?
Look, I'll tell you two things. First of all, it is not a good idea to be a speaker at HOPEX unless you're prepared. Because this is one of the sharpest crowds, and they will not tolerate bull. You know, I've seen people who are unprepared or who are posers try to speak at HOPE and get shredded, and deservedly so. And they leave, you know, a bloody pulp.
Not true.
It is absolutely true. And you know, let me tell you, I spend a couple of days doing nothing but preparing my presentation and preparing for HOPE. And I will tell you that still, at the end. I mean, every once in a while, I run over a wee little bit, my allotted time. But in the Q&A session, I have to tell you, the questions are phenomenal. They're phenomenal. I mean, that's what happened in HOPEX a couple of months ago. The questions at the end of my my privacy talk were astounding. And when we did the shorter talk, the 1 hour premiere of the TV show, the questions that came before and after were also amazing. You know, if you're a speaker at HOPE, you leave with your IQ about 20 points higher.
And your talks are generally about 3 hours in length too.
No,
so
one of them, the privacy one.
Yeah, but I mean that's an incredibly long period of time, prepared or not.
And, I'm a mere shadow of what's his name. Who's the guy that spoke for 8 hours once?
Robert Steele.
Yeah, Robert Steele.
Yeah, that's something to behold. Yeah, for sure.
Without a bathroom break, I heard.
No, he did.
Did he?
That's on record. But that's just the uniqueness of the HOPE Conference. Let me just say right now that it's 8 o'clock. You're listening to WBAI New York. If you're tuning in for the Personal Computer Show, it's my sad duty to inform you that it is not on tonight. I don't know if it's on next week. I think it is, but we're not on next week. This is Off the Hook. We're going for an additional hour. We have Stephen Rombaum in the studio with us talking about privacy, being a private investigator, how your privacy is being bought and sold every single day, what you can do to protect yourself. We are offering some incredible premiums tonight. Please call before they are all gone, 212-209-2950 for a pledge of $75. You'll get all of Steve's talks, and as I mentioned, some of them are 3 hours in length, a bunch of them are. You'll get a flash drive filled with his talks starting 20 years ago and going up until this past summer. For a pledge of $125 while supplies last, you'll get a flash drive or two flash drives, depending on what kind we get, filled with every single talk at the recently concluded HOPEX conference. That's 100 talks, I believe. Either way, it's an incredible deal. You're getting all kinds of content. You will learn so much from this. Just if you find yourself listening to the radio now, imagine multiplying that by 20 or 100 or whatever you decide to get. 212-209-2950. We need to have a strong showing to keep this radio station afloat, to keep this show on the air. It's of vital importance. And Stephen has been good enough to come down tonight for the full 2 hours and share information with us.
So absolutely.
Anything more recent that in the last, say, couple of weeks? I saw this story. I thought of you concerning New York City's phone booths. The advertising displays have tiny radio transmitters.
Well, these are the beacons. This is exactly what I was talking about.
So that's where they're hiding them, in the phone booths, in the old phone booths.
They're everywhere. They're at the entrance to stadiums. You walk into a stadium, and if you're known to be a consumer of hot dogs, you get a 20% off coupon to try to drive you to the hot dog stand. You know, if you buy beer on your credit card, they remind you about the giant beer offerings that are there. I mean, these are primarily for tracking and advertising. But I have to tell you that there is not the slightest doubt in my mind that every time that you hit a beacon, it is going to be added into a database. And after a year or two or three, I will know your entire life. I'll know, did you go to a liquor store? I'll know, did you go to a place with fatty foods? You know, a lot of this is being offered now to HMOs and health companies. You know, does this guy drink? Does this guy eat bad food? Does this guy keep strange hours? You know, is this person a health risk?
Wow. And all of this information being shared, being sold, and being used to basically
with
target
absolutely
us.
No restriction whatsoever. And by the way, not just no restriction. In most cases, you have mindlessly opted into this.
So you can give an example of that. How?
Well, I'll give you the perfect example. The new Apple payment system. You know, people don't use their iPhone or their credit cards for minor commercial transactions. Although I'm starting to see people swiping credit cards at Starbucks, probably because they charge $40 for a cup of coffee. But, you know, most people still use cash for small transactions. Your cell phone will now be a method to track everything that you do and everywhere you go. You are going to be self-tagged like a moose, like wildlife with a tracking collar. I will know everything that you do and everywhere you go. And frankly, once you build this type of profile, even if you stop contributing to it, people are creatures of very, very narrow habit. I will know that Emmanuel has got to have his double shot mocha latte grande, whatever the heck it's called, at exactly 7:45 as he's walking to the Long Island Railroad. Now, by the way, I happen to know you're probably asleep at 7:45, but the example stands.
I try to wander into different coffee shops and buy a different drink every time and never show up at the same time. Does that help?
I don't believe you.
Okay. Well, there's that, too. But, wow, okay, so we're going to get into this more in the next hour, but I just want to ask you this quick question. What can people do? It sounds almost hopeless.
You know what? I used to give a talk, privacy is dead. Now it's so far beyond that. Privacy can never be resurrected. You would have to take somebody when they're entering grade school and modify their entire life to the point where they would practically be the Unabomber. You just can't. A lot of this surrender of information is mandated now. I mean, you get your lesson plans electronically. You submit your papers electronically. As a student, even as a junior high school student, you're already leaving this digital imprint. You know, you're establishing your digital persona. By the time you're in high school, you're Facebooking and you're tweeting and you're participating in all sorts of chat rooms and you're doing, you know, probably your first nude selfie at 14 and what have you. I mean, by the time you're in college, it's out of your control. You can never go back. And I will tell you one thing. Once you surrender a digital item, it is out of your control forever. It will be repurposed. It will be redistributed. You have no control over it whatsoever.
So should we just embrace this and do the best we can? Because it really sounds hopeless. It sounds like there's nothing we can do to salvage any remaining privacy.
Well, to stay off the digital grid, you have to be obsessive about it. You have to be very, very careful. And the truth is, it's a lot of work. It's a pain in the butt. And 99% of the world is not going to give up the convenience of buying a cup of coffee just by waving their phone. I mean, people...
How hard is it to reach into your pocket and get a $5 bill or however much it costs?
Apparently, it is not as easy as waving your phone.
So do you think people are embracing this so much because of the convenience or because they honestly don't care? They feel they have nothing to hide?
It's absolutely both. That's a perfect example of a good question. It's absolutely both. First of all, you know, look, when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, there was a saying. I wouldn't have told that. That was the saying. I wouldn't have told that. There were things that you did not share. But people talk about, you know, drug use, criminal activity, sexual orientation, extreme politics. I mean, they post and tweet and share everything. Everything.
And if they don't, maybe the person you're talking to will.
That's exactly right. You know, I teach at the undercover school for
The
undercover school for a particularly well-known three-letter federal agency. They train their undercover agents how to go undercover, maintain their cover, and essentially not be compromised and possibly injured or killed. I teach what not to do. How, if I was a crooked private investigator, a bad private investigator hired by a mob guy, and I was trying to determine if you were an undercover agent, what I would do. And I have to tell you, it is astoundingly difficult to do a long-term undercover these days because you have to have a Facebook that goes back in time. You've got to have a 10-year history of addresses. It's so damn easy to, drug dealer Bob who wants to buy my product. Where'd you go to high school? And then somebody with an email is sent to that high school for a copy of the yearbook. If it's not your picture, you're dead. By the way, literally, possibly.
Interesting.
I can tell you that the outlaw motorcycle gang now requires you to fill out a 4-page application.
So motorcycle gangs and drug dealers are doing background checks.
That's exactly right. And by the way, good background checks. Uh-huh. Better background checks than a lot of Fortune 500 companies.
Wow.
Because they don't just take the questionnaire. They investigate every line. They investigate the SSN. They investigate the DOB. They investigate, okay, you say this is where you've lived for the past 15 years. They actually send people with your photo to that apartment complex or to that neighborhood or to that high school. If you are doing an in-depth, long-term undercover, it's a nightmare.
Steve Rombaum here with us on Off the Hook Expanded Edition tonight. Again, the phone number is 212-209-2950. Take advantage of the special offer tonight. All of Steven's talks and all the Hope conferences. For a pledge of $75, you will get it on a flash drive. And a pledge of $125 gets you every single talk from the recently concluded Hope X conference in July here in New York City. That's 100 different talks. 212-209-2950. Join those people on the phone and get your copy before we run out, because we will run out of these things. 212-209-2950. Most importantly, though, you are supporting WBAI. You're supporting Off the Hook. You're making this kind of education possible in not only in the tri-state area, but throughout the world. People listen to this show all over the planet. We get mail from people everywhere, and people listen in the future. People will listen to this 50 years from now, and they'll probably still learn something incredible about it. What we're going to do now is we're going to play an excerpt from the HopeX conference, which took place this July, and hope to see the phone lines light up like crazy while we're playing this. 212-209-2950. We're on the air for about another 50 minutes or so, and we do have goals that we need to meet in order to keep this program, keep this station going. 212-209-2950. $75 for the flash drive of Stephen's talks. $125 for all the talks from the HopeX conference. 212-209-2950. Let's go back to HopeX and Steve Rombaum.
You are a whistleblower. I have a good idea of who you are or who you probably are already, because if it's sensitive data, there's a limited amount of people who have access to it. It's not like the stuff that was given away by Manning, which was accessible by a million people through the military network. If you are a big deal, I was going to say something rude. If you are a big deal whistleblower and you've got really, really sensitive stuff, Snowden-level stuff, there's a limited number of people who can get it. And by the way, since Snowden, it's even harder to be a whistleblower because